relationship with technology has changed in some fundamental way as a result of the pandemic. And at the same time, technology itself has altered how we engage with each other. So maybe you never Zoomed your parents before 2020, for example. And in fact, Zoom may not have been a verb for you before 2020. Now, Sherry Turkle is a professor at MIT and has spent her career exploring our relationship with technology and how technology affects our relationships. And we wanted to have her on today because her latest book plumbs the depths of her own personal and childhood relationships for how they shape her now. It's a courageous exploration, and we wanted to invite her to challenge us to consider our relationships and the role technology plays in them with the same level of probing insight that she turned on herself. Again, Sherry Turkle's book is The Empathy Diaries, a memoir, and she joins us now. Sherry Turkle, welcome back to Radio Boston.
I'm delighted to be here.
So this book is different than books you've written in the past about our relationship with technology. You really bring in your own story, and it turns out that your early life has a lot of connection to what you wound up doing at MIT. Many of the people in your life, the experiences you had, kind of paved the way for this focus on empathy and ethics. Did you know that? So you set out to write the book to tell that story, or did you set out to tell your story and went, oh my God, it programmed me?
Well, you know, I think the truth, as is always the case when you write something, the truth lies in between. I knew that I had a story to tell about how I didn't have empathy shown me as a child. And so that gave me a lifelong interest in how important it was. And I really wanted to tell that story because the quest for empathy and a concern with how empathy can be undermined by technology is clearly, my work is lit by that concern. And that comes out of understanding what it was like to be deprived of empathy as a child. Briefly, for your readers who may not have read the book, for your listeners who may not have read the book, my mother divorced when I was very young, and I wasn't allowed to say that I had the father I had. I wasn't allowed to use my real name. I had to hide the papers from school and pretend I had a different name than my real one. My name was Sherry Zimmerman, but I had to hide everything that had that name on it and pretend I was Sherry Turkle. So
even to your own half brother and sister.
Yes, from everybody. So I really lived a life of a kind of undercover spy. I had to do two things. I had to, on the one hand, try to figure out, like a Nancy Drew of my own life. The cover of the book shows me in a roadster that I always thought of as Nancy Drew's roadster that she used to go on her mysteries on. Why to try to be empathic with the people in my life and figure out why were they doing this to me? I mean, it was so odd. It was so odd. On the other hand, I had to show them, I had to understand so young what it is to not be shown empathy. So it worked in both of those ways. So I understood when I started, to get back to your question, that empathy was so important. And yet, as I wrote the book, I made discovery after discovery, including this discovery of who my father was, that really nailed it down that I was meant to study what I was studying.
Yeah, and I specifically want to bring that forward because you heard me say at the top, part of what we want to do is have you help us challenge ourselves to examine, to examine our own pools of empathy and experiences with empathy. And I think people will understand the depth of exploration we're talking about if you tell us about meeting your biological father and what you discovered when you met him.
Yes. Well, I knew that I knew nothing about him, basically, consciously. But of course, a child hears things and then doesn't remember those things. And when I finally, my mother died, I had promised her to never find my biological father, to never seek him out. And then finally, it was very funny. When I wrote my first book, the kind of, hit, it was called The Second Self, and I was Computers and the Human Spirit in 1984. And I was interviewed by Esquire magazine for being, I don't know, one of the 40 people under 40 who were changing the nation or something. And he said to me, so tell me a little bit about your father. And my brand at the time, I guess still, was that thought and feeling are one. There's no distinct, thinking is feeling. We love the objects we think with the objects we love. And I said to him, well, you can't ask me about my personal life. That's not possible. That's completely, inappropriate. And he said to me, lady, your whole brand is that you're supposed to talk about, why you're doing what you're doing. And I said to him, you're right. And he made fun of me in the magazine. And as I watched him leave, I said, this has to stop now. And that's really when I started writing the book and decided that I would seek out my biological father, that I could not continue to honor my mother's secret. And it turned out that my biological father was a kind of rogue scientist who lived in Queens and who thought he had disproved Einstein. Because when I went to see him and knocked on the door, he said to me, did you find me through the New York Times? And I said to him, no, I found you by spending my salary on 2 years of detectives. And he had advertised in the New York Times, E equals MC squared is not correct. Queens high school teacher disproves Einstein. And that's how he thought I had found him. So,
and then you discovered that he'd been experimenting on you.
Yes, and so that's who Daddy, that's who my father was. But more darkly, that's the sort of funny part, but more darkly, I found out the reason my mother had left him was that when I was a baby, he had been doing kind of Skinner-like experiments on me. And he was quite relaxed about explaining this to me. He would, put me in a room that was all dark for a while and see how I responded. He would not speak to me for a while and see how I responded. Essentially deprivation experiments of different sorts. And my mother caught him at them and she packed up her bags and she put some things in. Actually, she didn't have bags. She didn't have luggage. She packed up some things in A&P bags and some diapers and a few pieces of clothes, and she went back to live with her mother and father, my grandparents. And that's why she fled him. She was trying to protect me. That's why she didn't let me see him. So really, to get back to your original question, in the course of doing the book, I discovered a deeper connection to my mother. I had been angry at her all my life, really, for keeping my father from me. And in the course of doing this book, I reconciled with her. I developed an empathic connection with her. I more than forgave her. I connected with her. And I developed a new kind of compassion for myself, I think. So it was a very life-changing experience.
So let's pick it up there. You had been incisive about relationships between people, how technology affects them, how it affects our perceptions. You then go through this odyssey, this journey of discovery, and you learned what kinds of tough questions you had to ask. We are coming out of a time when we have been mediated by technology, probably certainly unlike any time in my personhood. What are the questions, the hard, incisive questions we need to be asking ourselves now as we emerge?
Well, I think actually we're at a point of inflection because we have been sated with technology. We have been staring at screens now for a year. And I think now we're ready to ask, Are we ready to return to the full embrace of the human? You know, are we ready to have a more mature relationship with this technology? Because we've been in a kind of love affair with technology where we've given so much away to it. You know, we have privacy, take it. You know, it's more convenient not to have it. Alexa, privacy, you know, I'll let it overhear my conversations because it will be more convenient. Online learning, it's convenient. And I think that now, you know, having had so much, we're in a position to take a much cooler look at the kind of human equation and say, for example, with parents, when offered a program that will monitor their child's learning, I'm finding in my studies now that parents are saying, a program that's perfectly designed for my child, that will monitor his learning, that will be perfect for my child. No, you give my child a person. My child needs someone to talk to. I don't want another screen. So I think that you know, there's a theme in my book of that I, you know, I call stepping out and stepping away from your reality in order to see it more clearly, which is how I describe my childhood, where I was forced to be marginal to my own reality because I wasn't even allowed to use my real name, that gave me a kind of insight into what was going on. And I think we can do this now as Americans, to sort of step out of the technological life that we've been living and say, how can we make this technology serve us? Have we given too much away in terms of privacy, in terms of manipulation of our politics? And how can we, you know, exert control as consumers and get some of this back?
And the book is The Empathy Diaries, a memoir. That is Sherry Turkle, MIT professor and author of that memoir. Sherry, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. Appreciate you joining us today.